Welcome to special coverage of Bleach from our Patreon archives. If you would like to be up to date with episodes that we are recording right now for our Bleach coverage, you can become a patron. So enjoy the episode, and if you want more, go to our Patreon to check it out. Hi, I'm Spencer.
And I'm Blake.
And you're about to get jumped.
Welcome, patrons, to our third patron-only episode of Blake and Spencer Get Jumped, a weekly podcast where we watch the anime so you don't have to.
But you should still totally watch the anime.
This week on Get Jumped, we're watching Bleach episodes 6 through 9, where Ichigo fights Ichigo, Ichigo gets into a feud with a stuffed lion, and fatal injuries can be healed by a poorly timed nap.
Look, I'm just gonna throw it out there that Ichigo fights Ichigo, and then Ichigo fights in a feud with a stuffed lion is also Ichigo versus basically Ichigo, because he is, if you were wondering, also a stuffed lion. Now, don't freak out here, and let me just quickly put on my hat. Yes, I know it's shiny, it's made out of tinfoil, but stick with me here. I'm just gonna throw it out there. I can't tell you because of the lizard people. Like, whatever. Let's jump in.
Wow.
Look, I had a theory, but you cracking up threw me off pace, so I couldn't give you that theory.
Well, I guess someday maybe we'll get back to it, and everybody else just has to stay tuned in for that shit.
Yeah. So, hey, everybody. Welcome to another Patreon-only episode of Blake and Spencer Get Jumped. We are welcoming this week, for the first time, our brand new patron, which it seems like we're getting new patrons every time we do some of these episodes, which is awesome. And that is going to be Dylan. So welcome, Dylan, to the world. Dylan also got invited over to the Discord, and I think it's starting to jump in, which is really exciting. It's really good to have more people do this. So if you want us to keep on doing this kind of stuff, keep on jumping in. I've almost finished editing the first episode of Thanks Anime, I Hate It.
Oh, that's exciting, because if you are out there and not quite sure what that is, that is actually a suggestion that came from the Discord of us watching an anime that we were almost guaranteed to hate and then reacting to it. That was a pretty fun idea. So that's pretty cool.
And it's pure garbage. It's just so bad, dude.
How are people going to access this episode once it's available?
Oh, it's going to be on YouTube. I'm just going to throw this content. It's YouTube content, bros.
I can't help you.
Braziers.
That's it.
I don't know.
That was the one. Cool. So yeah, and we'll obviously like
that's mini bros that can be, you know, of any gender.
Well, we will post about it on Twitter, definitely, and probably some of the other locations. And we will
look, it's a brazier of bros
on future episodes, which this episode doesn't come out for another week or so, maybe less. I don't remember what day. Yeah, about a week. We're recording this about a week ahead. So it's possible that the episode will be done and out by the time you're hearing this. So if you're not already, make sure you're keeping tabs on us on social media. Because rarely we're ahead of the curve.
Yeah, I'm gonna be dropping it like this week. The last step is to send it to you and Rashad to make sure it's not horrible before I release it.
Yeah, so. And my role in that is to watch it and see if there are glaring issues, which there really weren't with the anime fights video. So I'm suspecting that this one will be fine too. And then Rashad's
true Christian name.
Huh?
Call it by its true Christian name, the anime battle blog.
Yeah, the ab. So Rashad's role in that is to actually use professional skill and make it good. And I just can't match that, but I am involved. So I'm going to just try to leech off of his insane talent.
Hold on. No. he doesn't jump in on the YouTube videos. He just sits back and watches it and makes sure that it's not awful.
Well,
he makes sure the podcasts don't sound like complete crap.
Well, yeah, and I think he's just so good at that the talent just leaches into the YouTube sphere by osmosis.
That's what it is. That's exactly what it is. Okay, so in lieu of our normal talking about shit from the week, because we've done that enough over the last couple of episodes.
Yeah, and I Googled before we recorded and I couldn't find any shit. I looked in multiple places.
The only big thing that I wanted to talk about is completely off topic from it, and that's that I have started to watch Dave, and it is so fucking funny. If you don't know what that is, it is the show. It's on Hulu right now. But
who?
It's who isn't sponsoring us yet? It is the show about the fake life of Little Dickie. It's just, yeah, oh my god, that show is so fucking funny.
I haven't watched it. I watched the trailer, but the trailer was kind of like a music video and rather than actual like content or suggestions of what the content would be of the show. So I don't know much about it, but I have heard very good things. But I was on maybe Reddit or maybe on Twitter, and the good things that I heard were couched in somebody saying that they liked the show despite Little Dickie, and they were saying that they thought Little Dickie was horrible, and several of the replies reinforced that. And I have always liked Little Dickie. I think he's very funny, and I'm out of the loop on that. So if you're in the loop on why people are piling on him, but not in a way that means that they refuse to watch his show, I would like to know, because I think I was like, well, some of his songs, they kind of tread into controversial territory. And I think they do it in a self-aware way where they're poking fun at people rather than like taking advantage of people. And so I haven't really found issue with them. It would feel like if people found issue with them, they would probably not watch his show. So I don't know what it is. Maybe they just don't like his music and it's popular to think that his music is bad. And if that's the case, then I disagree, but I'm out of the loop. So please tell me. And also, I guess, watch his show on Who Not a Sponsor.
Yeah. I will say that the craziest thing that has happened just today, if you're paying attention to the basketball world at all, because I am a huge basketball fan and it's super, super off topic.
I'm sure not but, paying attention to it because I don't like sports at all.
Well, what happened today was sports related and adjacent, which was that the players for the playoff inside of the bubble refused to go on the court today. And it was in protest of against racial injustice.
Oh, in response to the shooting in Kenosha?
Oh, yeah. They did not go on the
shootings
floor.
Because militia people have taken it upon themselves to murder additional people, because that's great.
Yeah, it's crazy. But I mean, I saw that happening today and I was like, whoa, that's like really, really huge. This week is shaping up to be crazy. And by the time you're listening to this, you might, you know, have more things that have happened. You know, there's a hurricane coming in for it's a category 4 and it's just rolling into Texas and Louisiana. So, I mean, if you're down there, hope you're safe.
Yeah. This has been a time. 2020, people have been making jokes about how crazy this year has been since Donald Trump was elected. Almost certainly before then, but in a different context, it's been a lot. There's been a lot of stuff going on politically and in the nation. And then obviously 2020 decided to bring a pandemic into play, but also keep some of the other stuff rolling and accelerating. And it's been a time. And we talked about this on our show before, and we discussed it at length beforehand and wrote something and planned it out. And we haven't done that here. This is just off the cuff, but I just would like to reiterate that Black Lives Matter. Please stop shooting them. If somebody is walking away from you and they are not walking toward another person with a gun pointed at them right now, like, don't shoot them to death. Don't shoot them at all. Yeah. And, you know, it's not,
this is,
it's not your job to just murder people in the streets. Like, if the death penalty exists, it's a result of a trial. It's not the result of a police altercation. And there's so much more going on with all of these things. And there's so much going on with, like, defund the police, which is a really interesting discussion and that I think a lot of people are misunderstanding. And there's a lot of stuff going on with Black Lives Matter, and there's been a lot of stuff going on with the protests and a lot of people doing good things and a lot of people doing bad things. And it's a really complicated situation, and it's huge. I mean, it is global. It's not just here. And here in the United States, we are huge. So even if it's happening multiple places here, it's not always the same. So, you know, even if some bad stuff has come from it or some stuff you don't agree with, like, still, Black Lives Matter. That's important. And that means that Black lives should be treated like they matter, too. And it does not mean, and don't let anybody convince you otherwise, that it means that Black lives should matter more than other lives. That has never been the message. It's not what people are talking about. So if you hear somebody saying that, or if you feel yourself tempted to believe that, don't. It's inaccurate. And that's important.
Anyways, that was our brief soapbox for... you wonderful patrons. Yeah, sorry about that.
The other one was on a regular show for all the non-paying idiots out there.
Oh, God. Anyways, with that being said and soapbox over, let's get into the sweet, sweet Bleach content that you get before the Bleach episodes. And this week, I decided to focus on the sound design of Bleach. And that is all to do with a fantastic creator named Shiro Sagisu. I'm definitely pronouncing that last name wrong. I looked it up and tried to find it pronounced, and it's that frustrating thing where, like, I found it pronounced two different ways. So it's just, man, that makes me so annoyed. if you're wondering what else he has done the music for, Neon Genesis Evangelion, both the original Death and Rebirth, the End of Eva, Rebuild of Evangelion. He was also involved in all of Bleach, including the movies, and Berserk, if you're interested, the newer one, Berserk, the Golden Age arc, and Berserk two, the one in 2016 to 2017, Magi, the Labyrinth of Magic. He's done a lot of really cool stuff. One of my favorite interviews that I found with him, though, is, he decides to get really, really engulfed in the world that he is working on. The direct one that I found as a breakdown on, there was he scored a song, for the Attack on Titan soundtrack. And he talked about, there was, when he was taking a look at the scene, he was trying to figure out the music to make you feel like a soldier was leaping from a building and suddenly being attacked by a titan and being eaten by a titan, and just trying to completely gauge that horror and that, like, heightening of the music. If you can go out and find this, the article I read on this was on the Japan Times. The music itself is, like, really crazy. The best word for it they use inside of the article, and they said it's razor sharp synthesizers, just creating a foreboding orchestral melody. I have always felt that Bleach has a lot of that feel to it, where it's the music itself and the composition is just jarring at moments. Whenever you have that, like, break away from the regular world into the spiritual realm, whenever a titan comes, like, slamming into the world, that music that comes into play, that, like, I know you know what I'm talking about if you're watching the show with us. That, like, like, I can't do it any justice by, like,
but like,
you know
trying.
What I'm talking about, right? but, like, it's that feel, it's that complete feel of otherworldliness that I know that's where he was going for him on this. The interviews that I found where he wanted to create a sound that felt out of a normal earth and into the spiritual realm. And the way that he decided that he wanted to do that was to make music that is almost completely discordant from what you would hear inside of the natural world, where it sounds smoother and simpler, and instead having this like almost like a spirit trying to attack you as you're listening to it. And I think that's really interesting. If you're wondering what else some of the published work that came from, his first thing that he put out was called Eyes. It was released in 1979. He's actually 61 years old at this time. He's a pretty you know, old guy or oldish guy. When I was thinking about this, I was like, he did the original Evangelion. That's really cool. And now I want to listen back to the Ava soundtrack to see how it mixes with, like, the Bleach soundtrack.
Well, all you really have because, to do is watch that King of the Hill Evangelion video on YouTube, and you'll pretty much get the idea.
If you haven't seen that yet, I posted it on Twitter, and I'm down to post it again, by
that's
the way.
That's so good.
But it's great. Anyways, that's my brief aside about Shiro. I really, really love the sound design inside of Bleach. If you haven't gotten that yet, I think that it really pulls you in a way that not every show can. I think a show, that gets it right and doesn't have just like the music that is going to completely, just be like a pop Japanese team that is just like slapped on the front of music like this, is something like Naruto can really draw you in, the way that they do, I guess it's like a traditional Japanese sound almost, where it's got like that, it's not kabuki music. It's like, oh gosh, what is that other Japanese theater style that has it's kabuki and something else. I can't remember the other one. They came through the school at University of Memphis when I was there at least, and they did a representation of it. It's got a lot of drums to it, and that's what Naruto really makes me feel like. And then if you want to have like a really composed soundtrack that feels really different, you can always jump to either Cowboy Bebop or Samurai Champloo. Cowboy Bebop is doing it with a really good spin on jazz. And then Samurai Champloo is doing it with like traditional Japanese like shogun music mixed with hip hop. And really beautifully done, and I think that Bleach does that really well as well. And you can take a look at Shiro's work. You should definitely go and look it up on Spotify. There are a couple of different soundtracks to shows like that you can listen to. While I was working today, I was listening to Attack on Titan, and then I was listening to the Bleach soundtrack to see how they mix together. And then for some reason I couldn't find anything on an Evangelion soundtrack for Spotify. And I was like, Spotify, you have failed me.
I've looked but for anime to be fair, music on there before and not succeeded. So,
yeah, it's frustrating. Yeah. They only recently put up like a Cowboy Bebop OVA. And I was just like, yeah, like, or not an OVA, but an OST. And I was like, where has this been on Spotify forever?
Yeah, because need way more of that.
Yeah. Anyways, that's my brief aside about Shiro, and let's go ahead and hear about what happened last time on Bleach.
Well, if you don't know, Bleach is a story about a kid named Ichigo Kurosaki, who's a 15-year-old guy living in a fictional Japanese town in modern times. He happens to have the ability to see spirits, And he one day sees a giant monster spirit fighting with a woman in a sort of old time looking robe garment. And that woman turns out to be named Rukia. She introduces herself to him later because they run into each other and she's surprised that he can see her and even make contact with her because she is what's called a soul reaper, also called a Shinigami. That is a god of death. And the soul reapers serve basically a sort of benevolent version of a Grim Reaper by helping souls pass on from their sort of earthly ties into the afterlife. However, there are also horrible monsters that are called hollows. These are people who did not pass on fast enough and who turned into giant monstrous beasts that wear bone-like masks over their faces and have giant holes in their chest about where their hearts would be. So soul reapers help people pass on to the afterlife, but they also fight off hollows because if you don't fight off hollows, they're going to start killing people and they are spiritual monsters. So the people aren't even going to know what hit them. Ichigo, however, is able to see them. And, also he has an atypically high amount of sort of spiritual awareness. This actually starts drawing hollows to him, and in an altercation, Rukia is injured and gives her Soul Reaper powers over to Ichigo. She intends only to give a little bit, but she accidentally gives a lot because Ichigo unknowingly draws her power into him. So he becomes a Soul Reaper. She is really drained and is stuck in the world of the living and trying to sort of slowly recover. She has now taken on a sort of mentor role. She has some sort of implements that allow her to detect when a hollow is attacking so she can mobilize Ichigo. She's also able to separate his spirit from his body so that he can become a soul reaper because he leaves his physical body behind in order to become the spiritual soul reaper version of himself and fight these giant ghost monsters. Ichigo's had a couple of altercations recently, but for the most part, it's just been sort of monster of the week stuff that we will be building on. But mostly today, what you need to know is that he is serving as a substitute soul reaper because Rukia accidentally gave him too much of her power. She has to be around to help him get out of his body, which might be a problem in the future that they might try to solve pretty soon. And also, of note, Ichigo has a couple of younger sisters and a dad. He had a mom, but she was killed when he was younger, and we'll be exploring that today, too. But first, Bleach Episode 6.
Yeah, so this episode is, it has a name that we're finding. If you really want to see what they're calling it, it's Fight to the Death, Ichigo versus Ichigo. And I kind of wonder if this is a real name or them just putting down something so that they could have a name when they put it online. I'm not 100% sure.
I think it's a real name, but the reason we're not sure is that most anime episodes are titled something specific and the title shows up in the episode. Like there's a title screen or it'll pop up, you know, in the corner. And for Bleach, they do have a title screen, but it just shows Bleach and then whatever number the episode is. So the titles are not involved in the episodes and you have to go looking for them elsewhere. And who knows? Who's to say?
Yeah. So it picks up with Rukia having some issues. It looks like she's starting to lose control of her appendages. And she's talking about it getting worse and worse. She says that she can't even move her left hand correctly either anymore. So
she's getting arthritis.
Arthritis. And
pretty soon she's just gonna have the beatus.
Oh my god. All I can think about is like the Wilford Brimley thing where he's just like anyways. Rukia is going to go to a store. This store is owned by a very important character that we are going to meet really quickly. His name is Urahara. He is super important, so don't think he's going to just pass you by. He has a couple of people that are going to be working with him as well inside of his house, or I guess outside of his house. It's called the Urahara Shop. And the people that are working outside are a small girl, who looks almost doll-like, and then a young boy who has, like, very pink red hair. These two are going to be named, oh my God, here we go. Jinta, and Aruru.
it's Ururu.
Or Ururu. And
I think it's Ginta, but it might be a J sound instead. I don't remember, actually. Of note, there are a lot of red-haired characters in this story where the protagonist's known for having red hair because of how rare it is.
Yeah. But before we see these characters kind of messing around with the... Well, messing around, but they're cleaning up in front of the shop. And Rukia is gonna roll up. But first of all, the first thing that's going to happen inside of Ichigo's house is that he is going to notice that Rukia isn't asleep inside of his closet, and that her clothes are nicely folded up inside of the closet, by the way. Everything looks really nice. And then he's going to go downstairs and be accosted by his father, and there's going to be some back and forth. Anyways, let's go over to the Urahara shop.
So, Rukia is, she's concerned about her body. It's not working quite right. And, she knows, and I believe, correct me if I'm misremembering this. I watched these episodes today, but it was earlier and it's been a weird day. So, she talks to Urahara a little bit, who also, don't they call him like Mr. Hatton Clogs, or was that just a fan thing in America? Do you remember that?
Look, I didn't hear that. I was watching the sub. So I didn't see that they called him that, but that might just have been me.
I also don't remember them calling him that in the dub. I wouldn't be surprised if it's a nickname that Ichigo gives him periodically in the early series before he really knows this character. But like, while you were talking a second ago and kind of describing him, I was like, oh yeah, people used to call him Mr. Hatton Clogs. And like for a while, I didn't actually know what his real name was. I just knew him as Mr. Hatton Clogs.
Mm-hmm.
And I now, all these years later, after knowing his name for a long time, I don't remember why I thought that, but I do remember that that was like, it wasn't just a me thing. Like people knew him as that for a while. And I can't remember the story around that. But anyway, Rukia is concerned. Also,
are those kinds of shoes called clogs?
Huh?
Like you are those kind of shoes that he is wearing called clogs? I always thought they were like a kind of sandal or something.
Yeah, what he's wearing
because
is
when
something...
you say clogs, I think Dutch clogs.
Yeah, like, for sure. I think that that is what clogs are, and he's not wearing those. He's wearing those sandals that you see in anime a lot, and so they must be culturally significant in Japan for some reason or another. Because like Jiraiya wears them in Naruto, Urahara wears them here. Like they are sandals that have like a sort of long vertical piece sticking out of them, so they're almost like high-heeled sandals, except that the vertical piece is not really sticking out at the heel. It's like sticking out in the middle, or there's two of them, so like the sole of the sandals isn't actually touching the ground because you're balancing on these little vertical pieces. And I think the reason they use the term clogs is because clogs are those wooden shoes, and so they make a specific sound that we're used to, and it's really similar to the sound effect used for those sandals in anime, and I think that's what's going on.
Yeah.
So that was a digression.
You know what? It's really just good Foley work is what it is.
There you go.
Because it's probably just like them taking, you know, like a wooden mallets and hitting them onto something else.
No, they probably had actual clogs, and they were like, well, let's put that in the show somehow.
That's an example of them writing the entire manga based around a Foley work that is going to be done after your manga is turned into an anime.
Years later. So Rukia is going to mention, I believe, offhandedly to him, like, hey, my body is starting to not respond to me. Because, like we said earlier, she's a soul reaper. Soul reapers are spiritual beings who actually live in sort of a different dimension. In the same way that, like, if you believe in heaven or some other afterlife like that, that's not, you know, you hanging around as a ghost on Earth or you being reincarnated on Earth, you probably believe in something like a heaven, and you probably don't believe that heaven is a physical place in our world that could be gotten to. You probably believe that whether you think about it in this way or not, it's sort of a different dimension. That's how the Soul Society is, and that's where Soul Reapers hang out. As well as all the people who have died and been sent there by the Soul Society or by the Soul Reapers, or who, you know, didn't have shit that kept them on Earth, and so they just passed right on through. So Rukia, being a spiritual person, she has what's called a Gigai, which is a fake body that she is able to bind her soul form to for use in the real world. But Gigai are not intended to be used as long as she's been using it, because she is in an atypical situation where she gave up way too much of her power. And so that's why she's losing control of her limbs. She's going to mention this to Urahara, who's not going to really have any advice other than, like, yeah, it's because you're here too long. You probably need to get better soon and go back home, or this is just going to continue to exacerbate itself. What she's actually come for is she has come to get something called soul candy. It has another name, but they don't really use that name. It has a more technical name, but at least in the dub version, she will explain that women thought that the name was too weird, and so they had it changed to Soul Candy because it was cuter, which is sexist, but is also why they call it Soul Candy.
Yeah, in case you were wondering, you know.
Japan doesn't always have the best gender politics. It's one of those things like fan service that just, it's going to show up in your anime periodically, and you just have to understand that it's a cultural difference, and that doesn't, you know, that doesn't make it right. That also means that, you know, you just have to give it a little bit of a different type of leeway than you might otherwise.
Yeah. Urahara is also going to give her something called Soma Fixers. This is something that so that she can keep her resonation in, with her body correct. But Urahara, says that this is also can be very toxic. If you take it over time, it can cause her a lot of pain, especially because she's going to start to become more and more synchronized, with the body that she is in. So when she finally leaves it, it's going to be very, very painful. And so she's like, I still need it. Fuck it. I'm going to do it.
She's pretty much stuck. She is not strong enough to return home, or at least not strong enough that she feels like it's time to return home.
Yeah. So then she's going to go to school. And this is one of my favorite moments in these episodes, because she goes up to Ichigo and she's like, I need to talk to you. And he's like, I don't have time to talk to you. And she punches him in the stomach and just drags him out. And one of the people over there is just like, did she just punch him and drag him away? And he's just like, no, she's too beautiful. I didn't see it.
Yeah, she is. She does not have time for this shit. And so she's going to teach him. She's going to pull him out of class with violence to teach him about this candy she bought at the store.
You talk about it like it's Butterfingers. Like, nobody had better ever lay a finger on my soul candy.
Oh, yeah. There's also a running gag where there are like these cutesy animals that she draws on pictures when she's trying to explain things.
Oh, my God. That flip book. And she just starts flipping it at his face. Uh-huh. And he's just like, you really ruined the moment here.
She also, this cutesiness has also followed with the soul candy dispenser, which is kind of like a Pez dispenser. And the Pez head, if you will, it's not exactly the same, but it's pretty close, is a duck, basically like a cute little rubber duck head. And Ichigo's like, why the hell is it a duck? And she's like, because the rabbit was out. It's like, that's not exactly why he was asking that question, but sure. So... So
Ichigo,
what is
along for the ride?
What's supposed to happen with soul candy is when Ichigo needs to get out of his body and turn into a soul reaper, he can ingest the soul candy, And inside of the soul candy, there is basically a basic soul. It's not called a mod soul. That's something else that we're going to get into here in a second, because that's what this candy turns out to be. It is a mistake, but there we are. Whatever the regular thing is, it's basically a substitute soul, and that's confusing because Ichigo uses the phrase substitute for a specific thing, but I can't think of another word right now. So you will have your soul pushed out of your body, and another soul will be in there, and that soul it's basically programmed to be a completely inoffensive version of you. They basically make sure that your body isn't found and presumed dead or incapacitated, and keep you alive and out of trouble until you can return to it. It's a living soul, but it's almost like a computer program, because it is just designed not to really have its own individuality and to just serve this purpose that you can sort of like run your body on auto while you're out of it doing holo fights. This specific piece of candy, as I alluded to earlier, has something called a mod soul, and that unfortunately has quite a bit of personality and is going to cause a few problems as a result.
Yeah, so it turns out that this mod soul, after they have to run off because there's a holo that's coming down the pipelines, they're going to leave to go deal with this holo. Meanwhile, Ichigo, let's call him Evil Ichigo at this point, sure, is going to run around, kind of hop all around. He's also the first thing that he's going to do is just absolutely level a fence. He's just like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to test my legs out. So he kicks this fence really hard and dents it in. Yeah,
way too hard. Like, way harder than Ichigo would be able to do it actually.
It looks like a solid metal fence.
Yeah.
And the person that sees this, that's like the security officer, I guess, looks over and he's just like, hey, what are you doing to that fence? Like, it's a totally normal thing to see somebody just kick a giant, like, bend into a fence.
Well, in the dub version, it's the kendo team coach, which kendo is like a wooden sword fighting martial arts. And I would assume it's relatively popular in Japan because it's shown up in several anime that I've seen, including Digimon. There's my weekly Digimon mention. So
if you're playing Blake Bingo.
Yeah. All of the squares are Digimon, and you get one each time I mention it. And you're getting bingo on bingo. So,
yeah.
So, I watched the dub, so our experiences might have been slightly different, but it's apparently the kendo coach, and he's like, what are you doing? And then Evil Ichigo is like, I'm just testing things out. And the kendo coach is like, you should be in class. And then Ichigo just kind of like runs and jumps over him. But also the kendo coach like swings his sword at him. And it's just like a bamboo sword. It's not a wooden sword, like a training katana. It's very different. And I don't think it hits nearly as hard. It's a little bit like a bamboo bow staff that's wielded in the way of a sword. But like, this could probably hurt in the hands of a skilled person. And he just strikes out at this student while trying to get the full story. So, you know, that's not great. That's not the way you should react in these situations. But also, in addition to being able to kick giant metal fences all the way in using a normal human body that does not have superpowers, he's able to jump multiple stories in the air, which he then does.
Yeah. So he's going to jump up to the classroom, and everybody is like, sees him out the window doing this. And everybody's just like, what the fuck? And then he's going to like jump into the classroom. Ichigo's on bath salts. Yeah. Either that or PSP or PCP. Damn it. So he's going to go into the classroom. He's immediately going to turn into more gross than we expect Ichigo to be, in that he is going to be super handsy and talking about Orihime. He is then going to go kiss her on the lips and then be pulled off of Orihime and then kiss another student. And by that time, Ichigo and Rukia have dealt with this holo pretty easily, it seems. It's not a super bad, big bad holo, it seems. And he is going to slash and kill that. but he's been getting bad vibes the whole time. And he's like, I need to go back and see what's going on. And like, as soon as they're almost back, we get this great moment where Rookie is just like, it's fine. It's just a substitute soul. Nothing bad could happen. And then they hear screams from like the fourth story of a building. Yeah. And I was just like, wait a minute. How loud are these people? Because like you can hear them all the way across this area. Whatever.
Well, I think the window's open. So, you know, it makes certain sense.
Yeah. So Ichigo is going to then jump up to that window as well, I guess, using his soul powers.
This makes much more sense because Soul Reapers have nebulous physical abilities that are much higher than the average human. I don't know why evil Ichigo is able to do this because he is in a normal human body. And even if he has soul powers, you would think they would be constrained by the form that he has been confined inside of. But, you know, the rules are never explained.
Yeah, but if you're wondering, the window isn't open. I remember what happens that catches their attention. It's because... one of the students is throwing, Tatsuki is throwing, fucking desks out windows.
She's also atypically strong. Throwing a desk is a challenge.
Yeah. She is throwing them through windows and, like, evil Ichigo is just like, why? I just kissed you on the cheek.
Maybe.
And I was just like, shut up, Ichigo.
Bleach just exists in a world where humans are much stronger than in our world. And they just never comment on it, but it's just a true thing.
Yeah. Anyways, so the rest of the episode is just going to turn into a chase scene. Ichigo is going to be running after evil Ichigo, and evil Ichigo is going to be getting away pretty easily until he finds a bunch of children that are talking about talking about their video game that they're playing. And this is where we're going to finally
knock off.
Yeah. This is where we're going to be getting into like a really important point that, evil Ichigo, I'm going to start calling him Khan at this point because that's going to be his name eventually.
Yeah, it's he won't going have to, this name until the end of the next episode, but the evil Ichigo thing is a mouthful.
Yeah. Anyways, so the big thing that we're going to learn about this is that mod souls were created in order to take over newly dead human beings' bodies so that they could fight against hollows in the real world without putting soul reapers at risk. So they were created to increase the fighting power of whatever human that they were going to be inside of. Khan was going to, he was one of these that was not destroyed, but it turned out that he was one of the very last batch that was created, and he was created and then told that he was going to be destroyed literally a day after his birth. So it was a really horrible creation story for him. And Ichigo is going to be thinking about that as they're running along, and Rukia is talking about it.
This also touches on something, on one of the things that I don't dislike necessarily, but I like the least about Bleach, which is that the Soul Society is where a lot happens in the series. Not yet, but we're getting to it. And the Soul Society is where a lot of protagonist characters reside. And the Soul Society is also a fascist dystopia.
Yeah.
And the protagonists are part of the government of that fascist dystopia. And
that's
people
true.
Don't really question it ever. And there's also like huge collateral damage, like Khan being a mod soul who is fucked up because the fascist dystopia of the Soul Society was trying to create like, programmed soldiers to fight their war for them. And now he has emotional trauma from it. And this is not the last time that the fact that the Soul Society is like a terrible place that people should probably not live in its current form will come up. But up until now, it has pretty much just been spoken of like a pleasant afterlife. And this is kind of the first time where we're like, people in the Soul Society are doing fucked up things and causing real emotional pain. And that's going to continue.
Yeah, man. It's a really It's a really weird thing that's happening inside of the world of this show, and we will definitely dig more into that. But let's go ahead and get into episode 7, Greetings from a Stuffed Lion. Ichigo has caught up with the Mod Soul, they are going to get into an argument pretty quick. Ichigo and Rukia are going to get distracted by the fact that there is a hollow that is coming. They can't figure out exactly where the hollow is.
Yeah,
but the Mod Soul
caught up to the hollow before they got there and got himself injured. And this is important because that will turn out to show that Kon was acting selflessly and maybe has good in him.
Yeah. Meanwhile, the people at the Urahara shop are going to decide that they are going to go and do battle. There's also going to be a fantastic moment where they're holding up the box to Aruru or Aruru. I can't pronounce her name. Anyways, they're going to hold it up to her and they're going to be like, "What does this say?" And she's like, "Defective merchandise." And he's just like, "So it doesn't say new item? Like, obviously, this is not what I asked you to get." But Urahara is just like, "No, it's fine."
Like, everybody makes mistakes. Don't be upset. All we have to do is everybody, go kill it.
It's gonna be fine. Let's just go deal with it. The different characters are gonna all pick up like different weapons to go deal with this. It's just a fantastic suit up scene. And then later on in this episode, after they defeat the hollow, Ichigo deals with the hollow, and Kon is going to selflessly try to stop the hollow from falling on some people down below, even though those people were ostensibly bad people to him because they were about to do something to a created thing inside of a video game that he didn't like. They're going to show up after this, they're going to be like, "Oh, we're going to deal with this Mod Soul." But the Mod Soul just kind of falls down to nothing, after Urahara just taps it on the forehead to knock the Mod Soul out of it. They're going to deal with that. And that gives us a funny moment where they're just like, "Damn, I wanted to fight." And it's also going to give one of my favorite moments inside of these episodes too, because the B story that is happening inside of this episode is the children that are not going to be believed by their teacher This random spiky red-haired person is like trying to attack them. And so they just keep on getting more and more detention.
Yeah. Also, Digimon mention number 2, the voice actress for the teacher is also the English voice actress for Sora from Digimon. So there you go.
Oh, great. That's super great. Anyways.
These are important things.
They are going to keep the Mod Soul, Rukia is like, "You already sold it to me, so I'm going to keep it." And Urahara is going to be like, "Fine, bye," and they all leave. Walking down the street.
This is a weird moment. Urahara is like, "Well, it's a defective Mod Soul, and you know the rules. Mod Souls have to be destroyed, so I'm going to destroy it." And I'm like, this motherfucker talking about rules over here. Because we don't know it yet, but he is, like, rule breaker number 1.
Yeah,
so it's weird.
Look, here's what I think. I think he is saying that it must be destroyed, but what he really is going to do is he's just going to take it and continue to fuck with it.
Okay, I was reading it as it must be destroyed because it caused this kind of chaos, and so it is a danger.
Yeah, I don't think that that's the way that he works.
You're probably
mostly
right.
Because I've seen the rest of the show and I know the other things that he has done. And that's I know that there's going to be a character who has questionable morals at best when dealing with scientific studies.
And a giant baby friend.
Yeah, and the way that he refers to Urahara is the most cold-blooded scientist that he has ever met. So, like, you know, he has questionable morals as well. We'll learn a lot more about them later on. So, yeah, we'll get more of that. Anyways, they're going to be wandering down the street and talking about this mod soul that they have taken, and they are going to see a stuffed lion on the side of the street and be like, okay, well, this thing is dangerous inside of a human form, so we can still keep it because it seems like it has a conscience, I guess, and I'm starting to have feelings for it. Well, specifically,
Ichigo wants to berate it for getting him injured, and Ruki is like, well, you have to find somebody to put it in that doesn't already have a soul in it. And he's like, good, because I want to kick this guy's ass.
I was trying to do this setup for like the fan written Ichigon Ichigo love, but whatever.
I want to kick this guy's ass. Send your fan too fiction.
Much, too much. So he's going to stick it inside of this stuff line. He's going to stick the mod soul inside of the stuff line. Not it. God, I've been watching too much. I've been watching too much, Dave. Oh my God. There's just so many funny moments inside of that show that are so not safe for work, you guys. So he's going to put this mod soul inside of the stuffed lion. It is going to come to life. He is going to then take it home. I guess he doesn't talk to it anymore at night, because the next time we're going to see it is it waking him up and like slapping him in the face and being like, I'm going to destroy you while you're sleeping. And this is Khan. And this is what Khan is like.
Yeah. He names it Khan because that is, one of the sounds involved in the name of the thing that he was supposed to be, either the soul candy or the mod soul. And then he's like, well, I thought about calling you mod, but that was too cool, so I'm calling you Khan. And Khan's like, call me mod instead. He's like, nah, you're Khan. now Khan is here, and he's in his lion form, and I fucking hate him. I hate Khan so much. I hate him. I hate this character. I hate him.
Yeah. But we're not going to have any real time to deal with that, because we're also going to be dealing with a super, super sad thing that is going on inside of Ichigo's life. And that is the anniversary of the death of his mother. That is one of the things that the kids at school are going to talk about is Ichigo is not going to be at school tomorrow. He never comes to school this day of the year every year because it is too difficult. And instead, he goes to the grave of his mother with his family. This is a really sad thing that is going to lead into a super important plot point that we are going to be getting into in a minute. There's also going to be an insane divergence of plots later on inside of the show. And remember this moment in the, next, I guess next year,
maybe probably more like 2 years or more.
Yeah. Sorry. There's crazy thunder that just happened outside.
Oh, wow. Guess we better hurry. Let's take this super important, deeply emotional and plot relevant, two episodes and just rush on through.
Yeah. Anyways. I think it's chilled out now, but that's additional Foley work. It was secretly just me with a big sheet of like metal, and I was wiggling it back and forth. That's what it was. We are going to be also introduced to some members of the Soul Society. They are going to be talking about how they need to deal with Rukia because she has been gone inside of the human world for way too long. One of the people that is going to tasked with dealing with Rukia in the world is going to be Saito, and he is going to be talking to one of the most difficult things for me to pronounce so far inside of this. And this is a member of, it's like the forces of the police of Soul Society, and it's called Onmeet Tsukido. And I think that's how you pronounce it. But the big reason I mention this is because I feel like they never really talk about this part of the society. It's like their covert ops. It's like, what's the name of the one from Naruto?
The Anbu.
Anbu. It's kind of like that, except for Soul Society's version of it.
Yeah, it's very similar to that. It comes up periodically, but they are essentially kind of a little bit harkening back to my fascist dystopia conversation from earlier. The Soul Society characters that we are going to see are going to be kind of military unit. They are sort of the military of the Soul Society. And it is something of a military state. So they are very prominent in the happenings of the series that will be taking place there. But there are other branches, and this is sort of the spy branch. And so that they are there, and they might be involved in various things, but they are definitely operating differently. It's like, it would be like the, in America, we've got, you know, the CIA and the FBI that does, you know, covert operations and investigations and stuff like that. And we also have the Army, the Air Force, the Navy, that kind of stuff that does the other military stuff. And sometimes what they're doing is covert as well. And there might be some crossover, but you know, it's different agencies that have different goals and different common work environments. And I think it kind of works in that way as well.
Yeah. So, he is going to be tasked with going to find Rikia, and he is going to be like, cool, I'm going to go do it. That leads us sure into does. Episode 8. This is called June 17th, Memories in the Rain. Oh man, this episode is going to deal with a lot of backstory. And it's really upsetting mixed with humor at the very start. Yeah. There's going to be a truly insane moment where Ichigo's father is just going to like run around on his hands like a ridiculous human being. Why does he do this?
Like, I don't like this comedy. This is super popular in anime, and I know a lot of people like it, but it is apparently just like a common Japanese style of comedy, which is just like go really big. And it's really different than big and broad comedy that we have in America or in the UK. It's just characters screaming and proclaiming things really loudly and saying it's just characters acting absurd, but in a different way than you see it in the States and in the UK and just in different Western media. It's just totally different. And I don't like it. I think it's really juvenile. I don't think it's funny, but a lot of people do like it. It's the reason that I hate Kon is because it's his entire shtick. And it's also Ichigo's dad's entire shtick up until way later in the story. And I also hate Ichigo's dad. So that's because they're basically the same character and they serve the same purpose in the story, which is to be a specific type of comic relief that I never find funny. However, Kon does get a moment that made me genuinely laugh out loud, which is early in the story before they get to the cemetery. They're talking about packing for tomorrow, and it sounds like there's a picnic. And Rukia in Ichigo's room is like, Ichigo, you're going on a picnic tomorrow. That sounds fun. And then from the closet, the door opens and Kon is like, a picnic sounds great. What should I pack? And Rukia just shuts the door on him and continues talking. And that one really got me, and I enjoyed that a lot.
Yeah. That's a great way to stay in shape. Anyways, so
great contribution.
Yeah. Anyways, there's gonna be a brief moment where they're gonna be catching up to go over to the grave of his mother. And there's gonna be a lot of flashbacks in this episode where Ichigo is gonna be remembering like where his mother was, what happened, why she died in the first place. And there's going to be this quick moment where you see before his mother, she drowns. What she is trying to do is she's trying to save this young girl during a rainstorm. He remembers that the face of that girl. Remember that. It's going to be very important. While the flashbacks are all happening, Rukia is going to catch up with this guy named Saito. He is going to say that Rukia needs to come with him and come with me if you don't want to be in trouble, I guess. So she's going to be like, no, I have things to do here. I have important things to do, so you need to leave me alone. And then I can't think of anything else super important that happens before they're going to have the whole thing with the Kingfisher, right?
Yeah, basically, she has broken a law or is on the verge of breaking it by being in the human world for too long. As a soul reaper, there seems to be some sort of decree that you should not live as or fraternize with normal human people more than you strictly need to get your job done. So she has probably broken some laws that they're not aware of, but the atypically long absence that she's been on has made them suspicious. That's why this guy was sent to get her. And the fact that she doesn't want to come back with him raises his suspicions more. It seems that he was sent specifically to bring her back so that they could, one, get her back, because that's where she's supposed to be, but two, so that they could see what laws she's broken so that fascist police state can do its work. And she does not want to go back. He is going to kind of square off against her and prepare to take her back by force if he has to. She is preparing to defend herself, which is going to be tough because she does not have her spiritual powers back. Ichigo's going to show up and be like, hey, this is my friend. Why are you accosting her? And the guy is going to ask him who he is. And he is going to be like, well, I'm Ichigo Kurosaki. I'm a substitute soul reaper. And he says that before Rukia can stop him, because that essentially confirms the dude is able to infer by his presence and his familiarity with Rukia that she has, in fact, been consorting with humans. He's going to misinterpret exactly how and why she has done, but he is going to interpret that Ichigo seems to have gotten his abilities from Rukia and his association with her, which is a big no-no. So she is now a criminal, and she needs to be taken back to be prosecuted. And that whole scenario is going to be interrupted by a hollow attack.
Yeah.
Oh, also, it's important to note, Ichigo not only remembers his mother's death, but believes that he is responsible.
Yeah,
he's having a real Simba from Lion King experience here.
Yeah, he does not take it well what's happening, or what has happened. He very, very much blames it on himself. It has shaped his entire upbringing. The first part of this attack that we're going to see is happening to his sisters. They are going to be attacked by this hollow. Meanwhile, the Shinigami and Ichigo are going to be getting into a fight, going back and forth. And that brings us into episode 9, Unbeatable Enemy. And this one starts out with a whole bunch of backstory. We already know that. We've already talked about that.
Yeah, essentially, all you need to know is that Ichigo was basically a crybaby, but he loved his mom so much that he couldn't help but smile when she was around. And then she died, and he doesn't really smile anymore.
Yeah. So the hollow is attacking his sisters and is going to be saved first by the Shinigami that has showed up to deal with Rukia. And then also by Ichigo, they're going to be dealing with the hollow in tandem with each other. But the Shinigami is going to show that he values life over values the life of different souls inside of this world over the martial law, I guess, which is placed over Rukia.
He has a code of honor, essentially, that is,
yes,
soul reapers exist to protect people from being harmed, particularly from being harmed by hollows. And even though he thinks that Ichigo is a criminal, and even though he thinks that Rukia is probably a criminal too, and he was ready to fight them and possibly harm or maybe even kill them in order to, you know, enforce the laws that he believes he is duty bound to. He believes that an even greater duty is that of a Soul Reaper protecting others. And because of that, he is going to move his body in the way of an attack and become very grievously wounded. Yeah, so so this Soul Reaper, he's going to get... So he gets injured, and they're going to have this moment where he kind of repeats what I just said about, like, this is, you know, the most important thing that a Soul Reaper can do, and that's why I protected you, even though we are not friends. And then he's going to seemingly die. But actually, immediately thereafter, they're going to be like, oh, no, he's not dead. He's just asleep. So he gets attacked and presumably fatally wounded. And in the middle of this battle, like, the monster that attacked them is still there and is still a threat. And he's just going to be like, I'm gonna take a nap real quick. And it's going to be fine. So Ichigo's left to fight.
No, he's not dead. He's just asleep. He's just asleep. He's not dead. He's just asleep.
So Ichigo is left to fight this guy on his own, which is no good, because what we've learned is this hollow has a code name, and the code name is Grand Fissure. And Grand Fissure has claws that he can extend, not like Wolverine. He just makes his fingernails grow much longer, and he could stab you with them. And he also is covered in hair, and his hair is prehensile, and he could stab you with it. So he's a real stabby motherfucker. He's also been around for over 50 years, and he has evaded capture in all of that time from the Soul Society, presumably by killing all of the Soul Reapers he's encountered, because he does make allusions to that having happened. It's not that he's never been faced with a Soul Reaper, it's just that they've never beaten him. And that's because he also has a sort of anglerfish style lure that comes out of his head, but instead of being a glowing light that tricks fish in dark places into its mouth, he has it appear as a person. And he can make that person look like however he wants, but its default form is going to be awfully familiar.
Yeah. It turns out that the default form is the same girl that Ichigo saw when he was a little kid and his mother died. It turns out, though, that he can change it to the face and the memories of the person that it killed last. He is going to do this and remember Ichigo's mother's face. And because of that, Ichigo is not able to stand up and really deal with this moment and the horrifying grief that is going to come over him every time he sees his mother's face. And so he's going to be stricken by this and go back and forth, trying to kind of like gain a grip on what is happening in this moment.
There's a weird moment where, like, part of his challenge is that he feels deep remorse that his mother was killed because of him. He feels that it was his fault. And then he learns that she didn't die by drowning trying to save him. She was actually eaten by a ghost monster. And so it's not his fault. And then Ruki is like, well, you have a really high spiritual power, so probably the Hollow was looking for you and ate your mom instead. And I'm like, he's getting over something that he needs to get over to kill this thing. You're kind of ruining it.
Yeah. Anyways, Ichigo's mother's memories are going to randomly start appearing in front of Ichigo. And it's going to basically be like, it's okay, son. And Ichigo's going to be like, fine, I'll use this strength to fight in battle. And he's going to use that strength to wound Grand Fissure enough to where the Grand Fissure escapes. But the Grand Fissure is not dead. Super important that he is not dead. Rukia is going to be like, hey, we're in trouble, but I think we'll be okay, right? And she like looks over at the Shinigami, and he's just like, and he like does finger guns and then goes away.
It's exactly that. No edits. He does warn them, though, that even though he's gonna break his assignment and not bring them in, but he warns them that if he fails in his mission, other people will try to complete it. So that might be important in the near future.
Yeah. So anyways, thanks for dropping by for this Patreon only episode, and stick with us after the credits and we'll talk about what's coming on next week.
Blake and Spencer Get Jumped is made by Forever Summer Productions.
With sound editing done by Rashad English. He's our level 10 sound wizard.
Level 10? That's a lot of new levels.
Well, he's been out in the waste grinding and killing low-level monsters to level up.
That checks out.
Our podcast is ad-free. And if you want to keep it that way, too, please consider supporting us on Patreon.
Follow us on Twitter at @BandSGetJumped.
Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/BlakeAndSpencerGetJumped.
Or talk to us on Reddit at reddit.com/r/getjumped.
If you like the show, please like, subscribe, and leave a review. Reviews help other listeners find our show.
New episodes come out every week on your favorite podcast platform.
And hey, thanks for listening.
Next month on the special patron-only episode of Blake and Spencer Get Jumped, we will be watching Bleach episodes 10 through 14.
Yeah, we're going to have a crazy announcer, so I'm just going to throw it out there. My crazy announcer voice is going to be like, casual Soul Realm assault trip! Kind of like the waving, wacky waving inflatable arm flailing tube man.
Okay, I'm definitely thinking more like a 1920s style announcer voice, like in Legend of Korra previously on. So it's like, you know, next time on Bleach, we're going to be watching episodes 10 through 14, kind of like that, you know?
No, you got to like hold your nose while doing it too. Like, casual soul next realm.
Next time on Bleach, we're going to be watching next episodes 10 through 14.
Coming around the corner, going quickly, is Soul Reapers.
That's going to be Don Kanoji and
All right, bye, guys.